It's time for Sounding Off with Phil Gough.
Morena, Mayor Phil Gough, how are you this morning?
Atamaria, I'm good. I'm kind of one day to before we hit December, and then
yes.
just 4 weeks to Christmas, less than 4 weeks to Christmas, actually. I'd really like to be in that Christmas spirit, but somehow I've got a budget proposal to write and a whole lot of other things, and it's a little bit hard to start to get ready in the festive season spirit. But hey, we'll get there.
A couple of weeks' time,
we'll be starting to move in that direction.
We will, and there's some big changes to do with the traffic light system, which we'll talk about in a minute. But let's start with some non-COVID stuff this morning, but another ongoing big local government situation. This is the Three Waters reform. Now, I see that Auckland Council is opening it up to the public at the moment to get some feedback on that. Now, what are you hoping to hear from the public, or what are you wanting to hear?
Well, we've let the government know what Council thinks about their Three Water proposals, which in essence is, look, we understand the purpose of the reforms. We are sympathetic to some aspects of it, having a water quality regulator, having an economic regulator to make sure that we've got uniformly good standards of fresh water, wastewater and stormwater right across the country. What we have problems with is their governance model, where they're basically saying at the moment, you know, with water care, they're responsible to elected representatives of the people of Auckland. We appoint their board, but we do it on merit. But we also, the legislation requires them to give effect to our broad strategic policies. So we have a control over water care, even though it operates independently on an operational level and in terms of setting water rates.
Mm-hmm.
The new system basically says, we're going to amalgamate, and we're part of what's called Entity A, Water Services Entity A, covering Northland as well as Auckland. But you will not appoint the board, and you will not have any accountability from the board for what they do, and they won't have to give effect to your broader policies. And by the way, they'll take over your stormwater role as well as the role of water care and fresh water and wastewater. So we sent a very clear submission, critical but constructive, to the minister. But what we want to know is what Aucklanders feel about that.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going out from this Friday to consult with Aucklanders. Aucklanders will be able to make submissions. They'll be able to be heard in virtual meetings that we'll be holding on it. And we'll go out and we'll do a poll, Colmar Brunton poll, just to get a sense of what Aucklanders feel, so that in my dealings with the government, I can say, look, I'm not just representing what council thinks. This is what Aucklanders think. And we'll ask two questions of them. One, should the water services entity be accountable to elected representatives, as water care is currently? And secondly, should Auckland, which is contributing 94% of the assets to this new amalgamation, have a controlling share over the new water services entity? Because at the moment, they won't be accountable, and we won't have a controlling share.
Now,
you know, we're talking about the assets of Aucklanders and being able to hold the new water services entity accountable to Aucklanders.
Now, we have seen in the past, strong criticism of some of the ways in which elected representatives, for example, on some things like the DHB boards and other sort of spaces, don't necessarily end up being hugely representative of the population that they are supposedly representing there. How could this be managed better, do you think, so that we have a bit more of a balance there? If that's something that the council would like to see, how would you ensure that it wasn't just the sort of broken system we already have in other spaces?
Yeah, look, I think the DHBs are different. I've got to confess, here's a personal confession. When I look at the list of names for the district health boards, one, I don't know many of the people, and two, I don't know what the district health boards actually do.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a lot of people who have that same issue.
Yeah.
So how is that going to be any different when it comes to something like managing water?
Yeah. Well, water is different because people do know who Auckland Council is. They do know who their mayor is. They do know who their local ward councillor is. And they want to make sure the bureaucracy, well, they, you know, bureaucracy is very good at doing the technical things, that they keep within the broad strategies of what we need to do in Auckland. So we've, you know, we've made policy statements, for example, that we to promote the ending of wastewater overspills into our harbour, and saying that that has to be a priority for water care, which it is now. We've said we need a much more resilient water supply, and we last year, in the face of, you know, 3 years of two to three years of drought, we want to make sure that you've got a more resilient water supply, so that there is no threat that the city runs out of water. So those sort of things are important, to have a public input into it, rather than just leaving it over to an unknown bureaucracy, and what would be an unknown board that governs that bureaucracy, that would be appointed, but nobody would know who was on it.
So for how long is this consultation period going to be open then?
It's open from the 3rd of December, which is this Friday, through, I think it is, to the 19th of December. So people will have the chance to make submissions, and we'll also be doing a poll of a representative cross-section of Aucklanders, so that we have a clear idea of what Aucklanders think about it. And when we do the independent poll, we'll set out, this is the situation, now what is your view? So people will be making an informed decision when they advise us of what their feeling is about the issue.
Now, the 3rd of December is also a significant date, because that is when the traffic lights kick into effect around the motu. Now, here in Tāmaki Makaurau, there's a lot of people who have been very much looking forward to this. There's still a lot of anxiety around this shift, of course, particularly when it comes to managing the vaccine passports. Now, I'm keen to have a bit of a chat about this, but particularly, how is the council going to be managing vaccine passports in the spaces where it's necessitated that they exist? And also, what spaces are those as well?
Yeah, look, we believe that it is really important that in where we've got major gatherings of people at council venues, that people are double vaccinated in order to ensure that we contain the spread of the virus in such an environment, and because we don't believe that unvaccinated people are properly protected in being in such an environment. So, you know, if you want to go to an event that will be occurring at an Auckland Council controlled venue, you'll need to show your vaccine pass, and if you, you know, if you want to deal with council officials face to face, we want you to be vaccinated. Otherwise, you'd have to do it online or on the telephone. And we want to make sure that people that are going to the museum, the art gallery, the zoo, that they are also protected, so that those that are attending gatherings, and now there isn't a limit on gatherings at the zoo or the museum or the art gallery, we want to make sure that those that are going there can be safe in the knowledge that everybody is double vaccinated.
Now, what about spaces like libraries, though? Those function in a slightly different way. What's going to be the deal there? Because they are, you know, much more hands-on social service areas. What's the situation with vaccination in that space?
Well, we want people coming into our libraries to be vaccinated, but you do have the alternative of being able to click and collect if you're not vaccinated. So you still have access to those broad services of the library, but we don't want the libraries. We want the libraries to be a place, again, that is safe for people to be at because they're double vaccinated, and we'll also have other precautions in place in terms of how we can keep those places vaccinated and the requirement for social distancing, etc.
The libraries, you know, are quite an interesting, I guess, part of this whole big picture, though, because they don't just function as a place for picking up books. It's where people who don't have access to computers can use the internet and use those facilities. Now, has there been much consideration taken to how it's going to affect potentially some of those more vulnerable communities that perhaps have lower vaccination rates and also have less access to some of those resources?
Well, I think the whole purpose is not to punish the people that are unvaccinated, but it's to keep them safe and other people safe. And there's an easy answer to getting access to all of those services. Please get your 2 doses of vaccination. And if you don't want that protection, then we've got to protect others and we've got to protect the environment that others are going to, and that will apply, you know, within the council buildings to elected members and in all likelihood to council staff as well. So the rules will apply across the board to elected members, to staff and to members of the public. Look, you know, with Omicron on the horizon, and we don't know yet how, we know it's more contagious, we don't know whether it's more severe in its effects, but This virus keeps changing. It keeps posing a threat. And we've got to take this. This is a major public health crisis internationally. And we've got to take all of the responsible steps to stop it spreading, to stop it making people seriously ill, and to stop people being hospitalised, and to stop people dying to the extent that we're able to. That's our obligation. That's our public responsibility, and we take it really seriously.
And on that note, I know there is a big push to get as many people vaccinated before Christmas time as possible. What are we seeing across Tāmaki Makaurau at the moment? Have we seen quite good consistency in the numbers of vaccinations? And what's the deal with how people can access it? Is it still as easy as it has been?
Plenty of vaccine, plenty of opportunities to get vaccinated. There is no reason why anybody in Tāmaki Makaurau does not need, is not able to be vaccinated. The services are there to do it. The encouragement is there to do it. The vaccine is available in an ample supply, and it's been great to see in the last couple of days, actually there's been a lift up compared to previous weeks in the level of vaccination. It was slowly dropping off, and dropping off because, hey, look, listen to the figures. They're really good. Auckland, over 95% first vaccination and 92% double vaccinated. Waitemata, 94% first vaccination, 89% double vaccinated, right on the cusp. And Counties Manukau, 92% first vaccination, 86% fully vaccinated. So what we've got 24,000 people to go to get all three health boards over the 90% double vaccinated level.
Awesome.
And Auckland's leading the country on that. So they're statistics to be proud of. But we can't relax. And the important thing to know is that if you want to be fully vaccinated by Christmas, you need to get your first vaccination by December the 2nd, this Thursday.
So go do it today, basically.
Do it now, please.
Well, thank
Make sure you're protected.
Thank you very much for your time this morning, Mayor Phil Goff. It's always great to have a chat. We'll talk to you again next week while we'll be sitting in the traffic lights.
Yeah, look forward to it. Who thought we'd be celebrating Auckland becoming a red light district, eh?
All right, ka kite. Okay, thank you very much.
Ka kite.
That was Sounding Off with Phil Goff.
Thank